Joining us now in studio, I think for the last regular interview of 2024, a very exciting last interview of 2024, if you will, Rich off to go bell rings Logan with you right now, is three guests we have from the city of Northfield talking about the comprehensive plan of Northfield, the strategic, long-range plan for the next 20 years of Northfield. And joining us to talk about that is the chair of the Planning Commission. Good morning, Betsy.
Good morning. Thank you.
The Community Development Director, Jake Riley. Good morning.
Good morning.
And the mayor-elect of Northfield, Erica Zweifel. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so let's start. You guys had a Planning Commission meeting last Thursday.
Yes.
Where one of the main points was some public input that you were collecting about the draft plan you currently have, yes?
Yes. And we're required by state law to have at least one public hearing before recommending a comp plan to the city council. So that was the first one. We're planning to have more than one. So that was the first one, and that's a chance for anyone to come and give us comments on what we've presented.
Mm-hmm. And you still have that window for public input still open for a little while, yes?
We do. People can comment anytime on the city website. There's a page open with questions and things to fill out about the comprehensive plan, and that will be open through the next public hearing at our January meeting. And so anytime, 24/7, you can comment that way, as well as coming to the public hearing or coming to other meetings and giving your comments.
And is there anything that you're really looking for input on right now that maybe there's a particular large amount of questions that you guys have, or you don't really need a lot of input right now because it's pretty well settled at the moment?
I mean, we're at the narrow end of the input
sure.
spectrum. I mean, we've spent a year talking to people, gathering lots of information, and then distilled that mm-hmm. into the vision and guiding values and the outcomes people wanted to see. And now we're taking it back and saying, well, here's what we heard. And here's the plan we came up with to hopefully make those things happen. Mm-hmm. So that's what we've been doing. Part of this is educational, I think, at this point. Most people do not live and breathe comprehensive plans, which is probably good for them.
Yeah.
And but it means we come and we say, well, this is what a comprehensive plan does, mm-hmm. and this is what it doesn't do. So some people think that it should be everything, cover budget, you know, tax levy, other things. And it's really more general than that. It's kind of the foundation that everything else sits on and has the longest time frame. And it doesn't regulate. It doesn't force anybody to do anything. For that, we need to pass new zoning code, new strategic plan that the council will work, you know, start with the comp plan and kind of carve out their 3 years of work for this, and then filtering up through capital planning and budgeting. But it doesn't do all of those things by itself.
Sure. So coming up this spring is when you'll approve the comp plan. Is also the strategic plan, which is a shorter-term version of this plan, and that's part of the reason I believe we have the mayor-elect in today to discuss this. Talk maybe a little bit about how the comp plan helps inform the other plans the city creates, the strategic plans. I'm missing the other ones, but the land development?
The land development code,
yes.
The capital improvement
yes.
plan.
All these other huge things the city
well,
deals
we
with.
We put in things that say things like, we're recommending reorganizing the community development department because as we looked at all of the things that Northfield wanted to have happen, it just looked like we needed a community development department that would really be public-facing and work hard on the connections with the community in ways that haven't happened before. Comp plan can't make that happen, but the city council, when they adopt a strategic plan, could say, yeah, in 2025, we're going to look at the community development department and make decisions about what they really need to do the work of the comprehensive plan. So that would be one thing.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Logan. Well, as you know, I am one of those people that lives and breathes the comprehensive plan. I carried mine around. It was dog-eared and bookmarked. And when I'm making decisions on the council, I'm looking at the value statement. I'm looking at the question prompts that are in there about who is being impacted by this decision. So when we're setting policy, the value statements are really helpful that we minimize the unintended consequences of our actions in terms of setting policy. And right now I'm reviewing the draft plan as I think later today I'm going to meet with Ben Martig and to start talking about putting the strategic plan and how we're going to put that together. And so it's coming to get, I haven't done this before. I've, when I put was on the council previously, and we had strategic plan work sessions. We had a deeply developed mm-hmm. comprehensive plan that we've been using. So it's good. I think it's an exciting opportunity to have those come forward at the same time. Also, in terms of Betsy mentioned people saying, well, where's the budgeting in the comprehensive plan? I'm hoping to weave the budgeting aspect of it into the strategic plan. So when we pick those 5 to 6 things that we're really going to focus on for the next 3 to 4 years, the budget implications are clear.
I think before we were on air, and I'll get to you in a second here, Jake, but the best comparison I've seen, we were talking about what is a strategic plan, was a comp plan. Well, the comp plan is the map for vacation, whereas the itinerary is your strategic plan.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, that's exactly kind of where I was going to go. Thanks for that, Logan, and thanks, Betsy and Erica, for setting that up. I think that's the exciting part from an inside perspective, too, is inside the work that we do in City Hall for all of you, how do we take that layer, that sort of layer cake of the comp plan being the foundation or the map, the strategic plan being the itinerary for, you know, how and where and when we're going to go. And then we have the individual work programs that the boards and commissions that are staffed by my staff. We have 4. Public Works has a handful, like the Parks and Recreation Advisory Commission. There's the Arts Advisory Council. There's the Environmental Quality Commission. All of those have their own work plans. And so then that's like, all right, the order that you're going to, so say your trip is to, I don't know, the Minnesota History Center, say, mm-hmm. and you've got 3 floors of stuff to visit. Where are you going to start? That's where the work gets down to the brass tacks with the work that we do. And then that also helps influence how we spend the city's dollars, both from the general fund for our general work, the EDA and the HRA as well.
And I want to ask you to represent all city staff, Jake, but as one of the department heads of a particularly important department, how often do you interact with, the current comprehensive plan? Like, how much does it inform and tell you as a department what you're going to be going and doing?
It informs the policy direction a lot. It's a policy plan, generally. And then the current comprehensive plan has some really great detailed outcomes and desired actions to take, some of which are then reflected in younger plans, like the climate action plan. But sometimes it's hard to see how flexible the 2008 plan may or may not be in a different given decision-making process. So when we're advising, say, the Planning Commission, the 2008 plan is a little tough to sort of say, look, this is the clear direction. And so that's kind of, I think, why we took a very focused policy direction approach, which to create a tighter, more concise plan mm-hmm. in order to be more flexible with outcomes, but also more specific about, more flexible with actions, but very specific about what the end goal is, the outcome is.
And that's something I believe you mentioned at the Planning Commission meeting, Betsy, was that this is a much more simpler, one of the biggest differences of this simpler plan compared to the 2008 plan, yes?
Yes, we did do it that way. But one thing everyone should remember is there are a lot of times when we have to ask, is it consistent with the comprehensive plan?
Mm-hmm.
When we adopt new ordinances, charter says they have to be consistent with the comprehensive plan. Most zoning decisions are all things like, is it consistent with the comprehensive plans? And it was kind of hard to determine that with the last plan because it was so big and had so many kind of layers of recommendations. So we looked at that specifically to answer that question, will we make it easier this time, both for staff to, you know, write reports and determine that and make recommendations to the boards and commissions, and for the Planning Commission to say, yeah, I can see that.
And part of a simpler comprehensive plan is also we get funding from different organizations, yes, based on, like, the values the city has in the comprehensive plan. Is that correct?
Yes, I think that funders generally like to see some sort of commitment from the organization that's asking it for money, whether you're a college or a nonprofit or a municipality, that holds true. And so this clearly, a comp plan will clearly show a funder a direction that's supported by city leadership and also even more specifically the community, the 20,000 people who live here that we asked the opinions of. And I say 20,000 just because, you know, we didn't necessarily ask toddlers what they thought, but we certainly did talk to lots of young people of all ages and also talked to a lot of complementary organizations. For example, one of the very first conversations I had when I got here was with the school district, because their need for students is an important component of how the city develops and where it's going as well.
Sure. You're listening to KYMN Radio 95.1 FM, 1080 AM. We are joined by three individuals from the city of Northfield talking about the comprehensive plan, the 20-year plan of Northfield. At the meeting on Thursday, there was, I don't know if this was, I guess they were kind of the two newest items brought to this comprehensive plan is two maps about the future of Northfield, yes?
Yes.
The future land use and the CART analysis maps.
Yes.
And I think these can be a little both intimidating because there's a lot of colors in some of these maps and maybe scary because you look at this and go, well, my home's in a blue neighborhood or a green neighborhood or whatever, you know, whatever that means. Let's maybe start with the future land use map and what this might mean for Northfield and where we're going or what this means, right?
Sure. The future land use map, think about land use in very general categories. Residential, commercial, industrial. We have colleges as their own land use because they're pretty distinct. But that doesn't say anything about what the homes look like in the residential neighborhoods or the sort of form and character. That gets to zoning rather than land use. So we tried to simplify this too, and we made all of the places which are mostly where people live residential and tried to think about where commercial development and industrial development would happen. And as we say, it guides future development. Mm-hmm. Now, it does not say if your home has suddenly been placed in a commercial area for the future that we are going to be coming and taking your home and turning it into a store. It means as opportunities happen, you know, circumstances change with development, say, along the highway, that if your property is up for sale, is changing, we would like to guide it one way rather than another. And for our future land use map this time, we had a couple of priorities. One was to have a kind of hard boundary for the campuses. Mm-hmm. Over time, we fought back, you know, that's too strong. You know, we've struggled with the colleges as they wanted to expand because they have needs into our neighborhoods and creating some tension with neighbors. So we wanted to create campus boundaries. We wanted to make sure we had space for industrial development, kind of plain vanilla industrial, not the kind of shopping, walking places, and everything in between, with a push towards trying to use our land thoughtfully and completely and sustainably. So more mixed use, where, like downtown, you have places people live, you have service industries, you have retail, and it's all together, and it's here it's vertical. So looking to allow more uses, more places, and to allow more housing almost everywhere.
Another part of this map, if I'm looking at this, is it's showing the growth areas of Northfield as well, right? And kind of some of the priority growth areas and just overall where we want to develop. But also, I know that the major thing, concern is of Northfield is preserving the small town feel we have, preserving this rural feel. What's the part of this map, if I'm correct, is helping try to preserve our small town feel and create a what's called a green belt around Northfield? Yes, I don't know, I'll leave this up to who wants to answer that.
Sort of.
Yeah.
There. I mean, I think people should think about. Of course, you all have in your mind a perfect map of Northfield, and we're constrained in how we can grow. We have two college campuses, which are huge assets, but restrict how the town can grow. Mm-hmm. So when we have, you know, the river and the railroads and other things which create places where we are constrained into where we can develop. So this time we've made a intentional, like, where if we need to grow outside the current city limits, where do we do that? And we've been thinking, where can we do it that is the most connected and the easiest to serve with utilities? And how do we preserve that rural edge? Because one thing we have heard for all the comp plans, really, going back to 1966, is we like to be a town and not a suburb. Mm-hmm. And so rather than just blurring off into Lakeville or Apple Valley, how do we do that? And so 2006 was the Greenway Corridors Plan, which was pretty visionary and has just included lots of the places where water runs and other corridors that could be preserved for trails. And working from those to say, here's like our northern edge. We're not going to develop past that. Mm-hmm. And so maybe Jake can add a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I think, thanks, Betsy. I think that sort of to take, to go out from the outside in, the idea of if we sort of self-limit ourselves by taking some of the high-value natural lands that are to the north and west of the city boundary today, and then the high-value agricultural lands, which tend to be to the due west and south. We don't want to encroach on either of those things, and we want to create a situation where we can incentivize folks to build more closer to downtown and closer to where people live, to minimize the need for people to travel if they don't have to, meet some of our greenhouse gas emissions and other elements of the climate action plan, and really get at that tax base mix without from like a very concrete, obvious way, rather than saying, hey, here's a bunch of farmland that someday we maybe might want to invest in from an industrial or a commercial use standpoint, but really give us a mandate to focus on that central growth first. And I think we're setting it up to help that set the stage for the strategic plan and then the individual work plans. And then the other thing I guess I would think about in that green belt versus the CART analysis is there are places we don't want to disinvest in anything, right? That's never the desired outcome. So the analysis shows the places where we want to ensure that we continue the maintenance that is required. And then if there are interventions like, ensuring that people can cross streets more safely, what are those? How much do they cost? How do we implement them? Where do we implement them? And then some of the things that are a little more intense, for example, is the Target parking lot exactly the right size parking lot for Target and all of the surrounding uses, Cub, et cetera, the banks, or is there some additional use that can be added there? What's the transformational approach that could happen in a place like that, that again increases the tax space or diversifies the kinds of uses and uses that people have here? Since Target went in, people don't have to go to Lakeville or Apple Valley to go to Target anymore, and that's a benefit overall for the community.
Sure. And I think that's one of the biggest differences you noted in the previous plan was that we are moving away from the suburban layouts of things like Target to focusing on what we have now, yes?
Yes, and I think the 2008 plan was, I think, kind of the reaction to the huge amount of development, say 2002, 2003.
Right, when I'm being born.
There you go, Logan. Way back in your infancy, yeah. When we were building lots and lots of homes, at either end of town, and people were like, uh-oh, we're going to be a suburb like Lakeville. And so it kind of wanted to walk that back. And I think now we still think that, but also things like the Target parking lot or other places which we're finding are really underutilized now.
Sure.
That in newer thinking is like, you don't have to have a parking lot that's big enough for your absolutely biggest business day of the year, like Christmas Eve at 2 p.m., which then sits empty most of the time. Mm-hmm. But to think about how do we right-size some of that and then use that land for more productive uses.
Sure. Anything else we want to chat about with the CART map at all, or any areas you think it affects in particular noteworthy?
With the CART analysis, I think we need to think about this in sort of economic development terms, too. There's some things that happen because the market is aligned that way. Building single-family homes is something that usually doesn't need any assistance from the city whatsoever.
Sure.
But when we think about wanting to invest in downtown and the riverfront, that's something where the city is going to have to think about what public money it can use to leverage grants, other things to make that happen. So downtown, we've had a variety of things like facade improvements, right, to help downtown business owners do that. I think we're working on some things for interior rehabbing downtown, park development. Some of those are things like what public investment are we going to make over time?
And to that point about the CART map and public investment is we have some areas where there's a bunch of different stuff that happens, right? So there's, hotels mixed in with industry, mixed in with restaurants. And so those can be unsafe for people to sort of be in. So you've got kind of this conflict between people-oriented uses and maybe truck-oriented uses. And sort of from a transformation standpoint, focusing in on our industrial areas, places for primarily jobs and the people going to those places for those jobs, or are they going to be more mixed up the way that they are today? And are the commercial areas more intended for people to shop, work, and maybe also have opportunity to live within those areas? So trying to minimize some of those conflicts too, and minimize truck traffic throughout as well, so that, because those conflicts can occur in the middle of the road as well. That's usually where they do take place.
We could chat about the comp plan forever because
I hope
it is.
You let
it
us
is,
come back in the new year.
I intend to. I mean, I think there is one last thing I would like to is, where do we go from here? What edits do we need to make? What inputs, additions, things is left to be done, and then we'll pivot to the city council's role from here.
Sure. I think now we are looking at producing a finished document, which includes the maps. And the Planning Commission did some extensive review of maps at our meeting last week, and finalizing those edits, taking another pass through the strategies and actions, saying, do these support the outcomes that we've said we want? And then looking at the pretty document, I've called it, you know, it has illustrations, photographs, other things that hopefully will help people understand what's going on easily, and to review those to make sure that they really do show that, because we would like it to be something that is not just used by a Jake staff, but if you pick it up for some light reading, which of course you're going to do, Logan, you'll be able to enjoy it and know what's going on.
Did this week.
There you go.
Okay, so then that's going forward. You have public input open till online, open till the 16th, you said?
Yeah. Or at the earliest, the 16th, which is when we'll have the second public hearing at the Planning Commission. And then we're on track to adopt by the end of the first quarter. So at the latest, my goal is to adopt this at the third council meeting in March.
So that's when
the second business meeting.
That's so the council. So eventually this moves from the Planning Commission to the council to begin having a whole other kind of round of discussion. I assume not as many amendments or anything, but discussion about this. Yes.
I think our goal is for there to be unanimous recommendation from the Planning Commission, and then requiring some limited conversation. But of course the council will be brought along too. We've got three new members, not just the mayor elect, coming on board. And so we'll be spending a lot of time talking to folks and, making sure that we all understand where we're going and we all feel comfortable with it. So that hopefully a unanimous adoption by the council as well.
Well, I always want people to know kind of the framework we work in. State law says the Planning Commission produces the comprehensive plan. And then we have to hold at least one public hearing.
Yeah.
Check. And then we recommend it to the council. And the council can't adopt it without our recommendation. There are a few limited circumstances that amendments can be adopted by the council without a recommendation, but not the whole plan. And so that's where we are now. We're in the part about the Planning Commission is assembling the document. We're holding our required public hearings. We're going to make our recommendation and hopefully our unanimous recommendation to the council. And then we hand it off and they have to adopt it.
Perfect. Mayor,
they could change everything, but... Yeah.
Our hope is unlikely. That's right. Yeah.
I'll give you any last word, Mayor-elect, about the comprehensive plan.
Well, I really, really enjoyed the plan. Some of my favorite highlights were how equity was woven throughout the plan, that intersectionality of transportation and housing was really strong in the plan, the density aspect was very strong in the different districts and what we're really shooting for. That was a huge improvement over the previous plan, so thank you for that. And then it just leads you right to how those things manifest and interact with jobs, tax base, quality of life, all those things. So I'm really enjoying this process. And the council will be talking about its strategic plan. We'll be having our first get together of the new council and talking about strategic plan on January 14th. At our first work session is devoted to the strategic plan. So
exciting!
People can
exciting
tune in
stuff.
And watch us walk through that.
And it's wonderfully well aligned. I'm excited about that too.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Erica, Jake, and Betsy for joining us for the last regularly scheduled interview of 2024. Folks, we'll post on our website with this interview recording links to some of the things we referenced, some of those maps, some of those documents and such. But thank you for joining us.